Welcome to the Bone Pit Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. I'm Justin. Pretty exciting podcast today. I'm happy that Mr. Matt Jenkins is here. I decided it was time, and I've wanted to do it for a while. The Bone Pit Jiu-Jitsu Podcast is sponsoring Matt, his upcoming MMA fight at, is it the Cross Arena?
Yeah, Cross Insurance
Arena. Cross Insurance Arena in Bangor, Maine on 420. And how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. Like I said, we're glad we could finally make this happen. We've been talking about doing a podcast for a while now, and then just scheduling conflicts, and then everyone's busy. Then, you know, now you've been in camp, so luckily to have a day off to spend with my boy because, you know, school vacation, and then he's just kind of hanging out. I'm like, oh, perfect.
Yeah, worked out great for me, too.
Yeah, so finally got you in here. So you've been in camp. How's it going? Everything all? You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yep, been in camp. It's our last week in camp here now, so we're just kind of winding down and focusing on weight a little bit more now and technique. But, yeah, everything's good. I've put in the work. I've put in the hard work mentally and physically. So
you train out of Nostos under Devin Powell.
Yep.
Great dude. I've only been there one time for a jiu-jitsu class. John Badger kept giving me a hard time about not going there. He said, you got to go. And then I told him, well, you come on my podcast, I'll go to Nostos. And yeah, he did. So I went. I loved it. I had a great time. Kyle Hill taught the class, I believe.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I got to make it back. But
it's good, for sure. Definitely a great gym. A lot of talent.
Yeah, you guys have, what, 8 fighters?
Yeah, I think it's 8. Yeah, 8 fighters now on the card, yeah, which is unreal. I mean,
that's
no other team ever puts 8 fighters out on a single card.
No, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, we get everything at the gym. That's why it's the best gym around. I mean, we have everything in-house. We have wrestling, Muay Thai, boxing, jiu-jitsu, you know, all of it. MMA grappling, we even do like MMA jiu-jitsu style, so it's like jiu-jitsu but with gloves and kind of like being able to hold that glove a little longer before you can slip out. And
right,
so it makes the realistic jiu-jitsu and fighting definitely the technique a lot better, but
which is so important.
Yeah,
I trained jiu-jitsu. I did my first tournament, I don't know, probably 2 months ago now. And there is nothing that I've done in class that prepared me at all for what that tournament was like. I mean, I did like mock matches.
Right.
You know, everyone got up against the wall and it was just you and somebody else just going for it.
Yeah.
Even then, like, your adrenaline's up there and it's kind of spiked.
But for sure.
It was nothing like actually competing.
Right.
I love MMA. I love watching the fights. I wish I had found it a little earlier in my life, because then I probably would have pursued it a little harder than I do.
Yeah.
I'm 37 now, so starting an MMA career is not feasible. There is dudes that do it, but
for sure. Yeah.
I
same thing. I wish I started earlier. I started when I was 30, and I wish I had started as a kid, you know, whenever, just to learn some of those techniques. I mean, you don't have to fight, you don't have to, but right, just to know how to tie things together is huge.
Yeah, it's like I did peewee wrestling, and, you know, obviously when I was younger, and I didn't really care for it, I didn't like it, I didn't pursue it, and now that I'm involved in jiu-jitsu, now I'm trying to learn how to wrestle at, you know, 37 years old, so... Because now I realize how important it is when it comes to that kind of thing. So
for sure. Yeah, I started wrestling when I was 4, and I did stick with it. I'm happy I did, because now I'm looking back on it. It's helped me out so much with where I'm at now, just taking off in my career. It kind of gives you a little head start, which is nice with the wrestling.
I mean, I feel like wrestling, out of all the different mixed martial arts, I feel like wrestling is probably... if it's not the most important, it's right up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of control where the fight goes. And then obviously the striking and then the jiu-jitsu part, so it comes in where the finishes happen, but you know, just controlling somebody.
For sure. Took me a little bit to get used to you know, kind of transferring my wrestling into jiu-jitsu. That takes a little bit. That probably took me a good, I'd say like 6 months of really just doing submission jiu-jitsu and just trying to do the actual art of jiu-jitsu without, you know, constantly getting my neck stuck out there and shooting in on doubles.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, we have a lot of guys that come in to where we are. I train at Marrera's in Biddeford. And when we have a new guy come in, but he's wrestled for years, and that's like the main thing. You know, they go in for a blast double, heads outside, and then guillotines all day. You know, it's just, but like we had John Badger on the podcast, and like he talked about it, and he was saying that he had too much of an issue of giving up his back. You know, so like wrestling, obviously, like you're comfortable if someone's on your back, because if you're on your back or you're not on your back, you're in trouble. So you know, you're comfortable with people being on your back. And he said that was one of the issues that he had to deal with and learn to get away from.
Yeah, you can't give up your back that easily in jiu-jitsu, for sure.
No. So this fight coming up, your first fight, didn't quite go the way you wanted to. You guys got fight of the night, though, I believe, right?
We did, yeah. Got fight of the night. I wish I would have pulled away with the W and got the win, but I was...
But, I mean, it was your first one, and that dude that you fought, he was 2-0 and had beaten some pretty good guys going into it.
Yeah.
So...
2-0 or 3-0? One of the... I'm not sure.
I just watched it again today, and I'm pretty sure it was 2-0.
Maybe that's what they were saying.
But yeah, he had, there was a quite noticeable size difference. So the dude you're fighting this weekend coming up, it must be kind of tough because it's his first fight, right?
It's actually his second fight. He just fought at the Aura. I watched his last fight. He got TKO'd in the first round, so I didn't really get to see a lot of the fight, but... Yeah, so he's got one fight as well. We're both 0-1. Yeah, this one's going to be closer to my size and be able to cut some weight for this one. So
yeah, that's good. And
in the first fight too, I knew going into it that I was giving up, you know, 20 to 25 pounds. He had just beat my main training partner, Alex Morris, the card before, and Alex isn't really known for his wrestling, so I just kind of reached out to my coach and said, like, hey, let's do this. This Qasim kid can have it. Like, I'm ready. So we got in there, got to camp. I knew it was going to be a little smaller. But, yeah, I mean, I think speed-wise and technique-wise, I still think I had the upper hand. But you just feel the weight difference, I guess. The strength, it was a little bit of a difference. He was able to...
Yeah, the way he was able to move you around.
Solidify positions and hold me down a little longer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that it kind of lit a fire under my ass, though, during that camp, because I knew he's undefeated. He's ranked number one. Like, he just beat my training partner, who I know I go with every day. Kid's tough. Like, so I knew it was a big task coming into it, but it excites me. I like that.
So what was... If anything, what was the big difference, or if you noticed anything different about this camp compared to your first one?
I just feel like, as an amateur, especially like starting out now, every camp I just have more tools in my toolbox. Like going through camp, this camp, I just have a lot more things that I've been using and working on that I, you know, wasn't the camp before, or... you know, and that was the first camp, too. I didn't really know what to expect, you know.
But yeah.
I kind of know how the camp's structured now. I know what days of the week really suck and what days of the week just kind of suck, you know.
Yeah.
So it's, you can kind of prepare your day a little better for that and game out, plan out your camp a little better, which definitely helps.
And we were talking before we were recording about... the way the camp, how Devin's running them now is a little different than what he's been doing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's kind of cracking down on you guys as far as, you know, if you want to be in a fight, then things are going to change a little bit.
For sure. If you want to fight, you have to, you got to hit a certain requirement before you're even able to think about taking a fight. So you got to be in there, I'd say at least 4 or 5 days a week, just to kind of get your name in the hat. And Devin takes his job serious. He's a great coach, and he just wants to see the best for everyone. And, I mean, there's so many coaches out there that will throw on a guy that's been in the gym for 3 months that can throw a right hand, and it's like, you just, you know. Devin's seen it enough times. He knows better than that. We have great fighters, and he wants nothing but the best, so.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously has to, you know, he sees something in you. And all the guys, if he's, you know, it's not just you fighting. You're representing him.
Right.
You're representing the gym. You're representing Nostos.
Yep.
So, I mean, he's only going to take the guys that he feels, you know, really have a chance at, you know, doing something. So.
Right. And he just wants to see you try. He wants to see you in there. If you're not in there for the hard classes, if you're not in there for MMA, or if you're not in there for sparring on Saturday, like, you know, Devin's been through the grind. Devin's put everything he's had into this. So, like, he wants to see you put out some, too, you know?
Right.
So that's a big thing, is just kind of showing you want to be there and showing you got the heart. And
yeah, for sure. So you mentioned that you wrestled all through up. So you work at where I work, and your father, who's been there for... He's a 30-plus year guy.
I think 42 years this
year.
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
41 or 42.
And like we were talking earlier, I fucking love your father. He cracks me up so much.
Yeah.
And like I said, I've been there 14 years, and I've known him the entire time that I've been there, but I haven't really talked to him much. He's a pretty quiet, keeps-to-himself kind of guy until... you have something in common, and then he just opens up like crazy.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how it started, but he found out that I was training jiu-jitsu, and something about we both that I watched MMA, and I never had a clue, and I never would have suspected that he would have been the kind of guy that would have been into that kind of thing. And once we started talking about fights, it was all over. Like,
oh yeah.
And then after every pay-per-view or fight night, he'd find me and he'd come over and we'd talk about how the fights would go. And then he would talk about, you know, you wrestling as a kid and all through high school. All I can say is what I know is he's so proud of, like, what you're doing right now. It's fun to watch him talk about it, but he's also nervous as hell, too. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't know... I don't know. He's
been there through it all. I mean, my dad was there when I was in kindergarten for 12 to 14 hours in a gym every weekend. You know, dad was there. He was the one slapping me in the head, warming me up, putting some water on my back. Like, he was out there getting me ready as a kid and all through junior high and high school. And he never missed a match. I mean, parents say that. He never missed a match.
Yeah.
Never. He was there for every single match. I mean... Sometimes they would have to kick him out of practice. Be sitting there in practice, and you know, he's involved and he loves it. I mean, I cannot say enough good about my dad. My dad is one of the best men out there for sure. Good guy. Loves the martial arts now. He's all into MMA and
oh yeah, he has a hard time remembering the fighters' names, but like
yeah, he's getting better with it. But
he is definitely getting better at it, but. Yeah, because I'll be working, staying on my machine, and here comes Russell.
Yep.
He's like, Jesus, this Saturday. And I'm like, I know, right? And then I saw him this week, and I was walking by, and he gave me the nod. Like, he wanted to say something, so I walked over, and he's like, Max Holloway, huh? And I was like, I'm like, yeah, that was just fucking wild.
Unreal.
And, like I said, I can't say enough good things about your old man.
Yep.
And I'm glad that you're doing this shit, because, I mean, like I said, he might seem like he's, I don't know, I know he's fucking proud and he's happy about what you're doing, but he's also nervous as shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He definitely feels the nerves too, for sure. I think a lot of my family does, and it's, I guess, a good thing because they care. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I feel a little bad they're carrying some weight on their shoulders because I feel it too. But I'm ready. For me, it's more of an exciting thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, to do any stuff like this, I mean, like I said, what I do is like nothing compared to what you do. But you need to have, it makes it so much easier, and you're only going to improve by having a better support system at home.
For sure. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like your girl, obviously, she's behind you 100%.
Yep. She manages all my stuff. She does all the fight shirts for the gym. She's does all my marketing. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah. So, and you have two kids, and I mean, you guys make it happen. You make it work.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you wouldn't be able to do that if.
No.
You know.
No, I wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't be able to promote myself the way I do. I wouldn't be able to train like I do, for sure. She helps out a bunch during camps. I mean,
right.
Every night she's with the kids, putting them down, getting them bathed. Like, I do a lot of that usually, but when I'm in camp, I'm just, like, basically never home. I'm doing AM classes for 2 to 3 hours in the morning and then PM classes for 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
And it's just every, you know, the whole camp. So, it's yeah, it's a lot, but we make it work for sure.
So how long's it been since the last fight?
Last fight
hasn't been quite a year, has it?
No, not quite a year yet. July 8th, I think it was. July 8th was the last fight.
Yeah.
So
how do you, when you fought for the first time, how do you feel you did as far as handling, you know, your emotions before the fight and while you were out there? And
good. Yeah, I feel like pretty good. I mean, I've had to deal with those emotions, you know, competing my whole life through wrestling. It's kind of, it is the same, but it isn't, you know what right. I mean? I'm going out there to go to war. Like I'm ready, like let's do this. But also it is a little different when you're getting hit in the face and you know, hit and kicked and whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a little, there's not saying that you can get fucked up in wrestling, 'cause you definitely can.
Right.
But the chances of getting, you know, hurt significantly are much greater than what you're doing now.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, as always, it's just the biggest fear is getting caught with a shot you don't see and getting laid out in front of your friends and family. Like,
right.
That sucks for sure.
I know. I always hate that.
Haven't been there yet. Hope not to be. But
yeah, I mean, I always hate that for fighters when, like, they show, like, the fighter, then they show like the wife and the kids there or whatever, yeah. And then just get absolutely slapped. And it's,
you
like,
see it in the UFC all the time. Yeah. It's like, oh,
yeah, it's sucks. Brutal. And unfortunately, it's usually like retirement fights.
Right. I know.
And it's always,
it makes,
like,
it even a little shittier. Yeah. It sucks to see the guys go out like that. But, you know, some make it happen. You just gotta be smart with it, I guess. I don't know. You gotta know where you're at in your career, know how much further you got, you know. I don't know. I'm still young, so I'm not really at that point yet. But
yeah, I mean, you're young, you're healthy. And actually, I mean, starting a little later in your career isn't necessarily a horrible thing.
Yeah.
Compared to guys that started actual MMA, you know, in their teenage years, you know, all those extra years of sparring and all that. I mean, just taking shots.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's why I say I feel like training at a young age, learning the MMA. I mean, you don't have to take fights, but do all the classes. Do the Muay Thai, do the wrestling, do the jiu-jitsu, learn your grappling, learn your stand-up. Learn some good kicks. Like, that stuff all helps. But, yeah, I think it almost played out better for me that I was able to wrestle kind of my whole life and get that under the belt and, you know, learn the competitive side of that and how to deal with the emotions of that and training hard when you don't want to and being a kid and just wanting to play outside when you got to go to practice. And I feel like that all helped out a lot. But, yeah, starting later, it was a little bit of a learning curve, learning the stand-up and the boxing, because I had never really put gloves on before that. But Yeah, I think it. You can definitely take a little bit, so some damage that's unnecessary as a young kid that you don't need to.
Yeah, because you're starting to see it a little more in like actual MMA. Like we mentioned Max Holloway earlier. Like he doesn't spar.
Right.
Like he does not spar anymore in training.
Yeah, that's what he says. Yeah.
He says, yeah, I know how to fight. I don't need to do that. I don't need to take the unnecessary damage. And
right.
Then you have other guys like Strickland and stuff that just go to war every time they're in there, you know?
Yep.
Whether it's a training day or whatever it is. But, and you could tell, too, some of these fighters, they make it out. So some of them make it out of the career, like, perfectly fine.
Yep.
Then, unfortunately, you have some guys that are, you know, like the Chuck Liddells and, like, that kind of thing where, you know, they might not have hung it up a little, you know, when they should have.
When they should have, yeah. Yeah. And,
like Devin, I feel like Devin got out at a really good time.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, he had some good ones.
I don't think Devin really wanted to, per se. But,
no.
Yeah, he was kind of at the point where he had a lot of injuries in his career, too, especially towards the end. And, I mean, Devin would be able to touch on it better. But I know he was dealing with a lot of injuries at the end. And, man, it's hard when your body starts breaking down on you and you can't. You physically want to do it, like you
right.
You want it. You just it's tough because some guys that are in better shape that you know their legs are a little harder. They can hit a little better. Like that just starts beating up on you. And
well, you may got to think about it too. I mean, you guys are going through a camp. You're putting in all that work. I mean, he's putting in.
Oh yeah.
Pretty much the same. You know, first, I mean, he's
maybe even more.
Yeah. Because he's working with all of you.
Yeah.
You know, so. For him, you know, just because he's not fighting anymore doesn't mean that he's not.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, that dude works his ass off.
He works his ass off, for sure. Yeah, I mean, even just this morning with my rounds, like, a lot of time I'm like, you good? Like, I'll catch him with some shit, and he's like, let's go. Like, come on, keep pushing forward. Like, he just takes it from everybody, you know, and he'll take elbows and get some shiners. But he's always in the mix. He's always holding pads. He's always willing to roll with anyone. Go over technique. Devin's a great coach. He is a great coach.
Yeah, and Carolyn, she seems super nice.
Carolyn's our gym mom. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She takes care of everything that we, you know, she lets us basically focus on the fighting, and she takes care of all the rest, which is great.
Yeah, I'm hoping someday that I can get Devin. I'd like to have him on here for, you know, the MMA, jiu-jitsu part of it. And then I do that other podcast, the 207 one, about, you know, entrepreneurs, careers.
Right.
And I'd love to have him and Carolyn on about what it's like, what it was like, you know, when Devin was fighting, you know, as a pro. And what it's like, you know, managing, you know, a fighting gym like they do.
Right.
So maybe someday I can make that happen.
That'd be
pretty cool. So... But I was curious about how, like, the management part of it goes, like, on your end. I mean, we don't need to get into, like, crazy details, but...
Yeah.
Obviously, you're paying for a service from them, right?
Yeah.
So, and then, basically, they take care of everything else from there as far as, like, negotiations and all that stuff with fights. Is that all on their end?
Yep. Yeah, so, basically, you know, you can train over at Nosos. They offer a little bit of everything. We have kids, we have adults, we have people that are just trying to lose weight at the beginning of the year. I mean, there's all kinds of different walks of life in the gym, which is great. And then we have kind of like a fight team where we have, I would say, probably close to 30 fighters now, 25, 30 fighters. And she takes care of, all the stuff in the background. She takes care of, you know, the social media page for the gym. Devin and her take care of negotiations for fights. She takes care of all of our setting up our blood work, setting up eye exams, physicals, when our next physical is needed, shirts, ticket sales. So it's Powell House Management is the management company that they run through the gym. And, I mean, it just helps out so much to not have to worry about all the rest of that other stuff when you're already in camp. And yeah, it helps out a bunch. And then, I have my girl that also helps out a whole bunch too. So between her and Carolyn, they take care of a lot of the stuff that would be hard for me to take care of.
No, that's good that you just get to focus on what your goal is and what you need to do.
Yep.
I've always kind of wondered how, like, the camps work. Obviously, I wouldn't call it a camp. I mean, I was getting myself ready. I had to cut weight. I had to do all that stuff when I did that tournament.
Right.
But, I mean, that was, like, you know, a couple weeks I did all that in. And yeah. I was just doing jiu-jitsu and some strength training. That's all I was doing.
Yeah.
I've always just wondered. It's like I was talking to your old man, and he was saying, you know, the last week you guys kind of taper off a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that more of a, you know, just a conserve energy and to mitigate the risk of injuries like leading up to the fight? Or is that?
Yeah, that, yeah, exactly. To, yeah, I mean, you don't want to get injured in the last week leading right up to your fight when you've already put in a great camp. You're feeling good. And I mean, you just, the last week is, you know, you're cutting weights, you're cutting water out of your body.
Right.
So it's makes it a little more difficult to train hard.
Yeah, you're a little depleted.
You're just a little depleted, and it's better to, when you're depleted, just to be going over technique, you know? It's not like you need to go out there. That's what the whole rest of camp is for. It's for live, it's for going hard, it's for the team to be together and to push each other, to push the fighters harder, like, yeah, and then the last week is just more or less focusing on weight, and just kind of honing in on different things. If there's any little techniques you want to keep working on, or he kind of leaves it up to you, which is nice. Cause I mean, you can still go to MMA class. You can still spar on Saturday, but, he might tell you to slow down a little
bit. Take it easy.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and you just don't want to take like one big unnecessary shot, I guess, that kind of does concuss you a little, and then you go back out there Saturday night and
right, then your chin's a little,
take a similar shot, that's
the chin's not quite much there like it should be,
right?
Yeah, no, for sure. No, like we said earlier, like, he obviously knows how it goes and
yeah,
what's the best for you guys.
Well, with Devin, it's nice too, because he made it to the big leagues. Like, Devin was in the UFC, he was able to see how the camps are structured through the UFC. He got to train out of a handful of different gyms and kind of pick what he liked from each gym and how to set his camp up. Cause Devin just did it on his own pretty much. Like, he would go train out of Lozon's and Mass, Joe Lozon's gym there. And he would kind of train out of his gym, I believe, which was, called The Shop back in the day. And so Devin kind of set it up on his own. And then now that he knows a lot of these things and he's seen so much of how other gyms are set up and how other fighters are utilizing camp and what they do, like, we have a great structure now where yeah, it's been working out great for us.
Yeah,
we have fight rounds on Wednesday, we call it. So Wednesday we go in at 5, and it's basically the length of your fight, and then sometimes we'll usually go over. So usually when we're doing fight rounds, it'll be 3 3-minute rounds, 9 minutes of just the most exhilaration you can put out. You know, you're doing 25 kicks on one side as quick as you can, 25 kicks on the other. All right, time, go, wrestle. Now you got a fresh body coming in. You're wrestling with somebody for a minute straight. That minute's up. Okay, now it's hit pads. Like, get on the pads as quick as you can, and Devin's hitting you back. And you're kind of getting that heart rate up, and, right, and that's big, is just being able to be in that, in that craziness and still being able to pick your shots, stay calm. You know what I mean? You can't get too crazy
right
when things get crazy. So he's great with kind of structuring it that way. And then the next day will be technique jiu-jitsu at night. So you kind of get to sit up against the wall and watch a couple drills and roll around and
right
try stuff out. So it is nice how he splits it up. But, yeah, the big part of camp is just being able to, I don't know how you would say it, I guess, but learning how to deal with the craziness, I guess, when things start.
So, like, obviously, you know, we talked earlier, you're a wrestler. Wrestling's been your thing. You learned not long ago, you know, as far as the hands go and all that, jiu-jitsu. Is there something besides wrestling that you've kind of fallen in love with more than, you know, not now that you've been doing it for a while?
Yeah, it's just the striking now. I love the striking. I've had to focus on it a bunch, and man, I wish I would have started so much earlier. It's very similar. I mean, like, it is, but it isn't. Like, it's similar as in once you start getting comfortable on your feet, it's almost more of kind of like a dance too. You know, you're like, you feel lighter on your feet. You can pick your shots. You got to move your head offline. There's so many different things. It's like being in your wrestling stance. It's like, you know, but yeah, the striking is so much fun, and there's so much to learn with it. And it's just like anything else. Like, there's no end to it. You know, right. You can keep learning and getting better. So that's fun. I think now that I've really focused on my stand up, it's A, gotten a lot better, and B is I just find it fun now. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's one of my favorite classes is boxing and Muay Thai.
Yeah, I'd like to eventually do something. I'm by no means good on the ground, but I mean, I'd have an advantage over someone that hasn't trained at all.
Yeah,
but I don't know if I know.
You don't give yourself credit. You're good on the ground.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I want to be a little more well-rounded, I guess. Yeah. I'd love to learn some of the striking stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Anybody could throw a punch, but do you really know how to throw a punch the right way?
Right.
You know, that's,
yep.
You know, so I'd like to. I know we talked about it, you know.
Yep.
About you coming over and holding some pads or whatever. I have all the shit. It's all.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's here. I gotta. Yep. I mean, my setup's kind of legit. It's.
No, I like it. Yeah. I got to get this going on in my basement for sure.
But,
no, it's nice.
So. But yeah, I just, like, yeah, if you can get somebody on the ground, great, but, you know, you got to get there first.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at. Still no gi, right?
Still no gi right now. I plan on getting the gi on for sure at some point, and I have. It's not that I've never put one on. I've put one on, not recently, but a couple of years ago, I was training out of Port City in Portsmouth, and yeah. I did a little bit over there in the gi. Not enough to say I ever really trained in it, but probably a month or so. And yeah, I mean, it's a different sport too. And now I'm like, I'm trying to, like you said, what makes a great fighter is being a well-rounded fighter. For somebody sure. that can be super well-rounded and stay calm in the mix, like, that's huge. And with gi, of course, that's just going to help you out even more in learning those grips and learning to solidify positions. But I've just been like, oh, I have so much that I'm trying to learn now and pick up on with it.
Right.
Kind of focusing more on the MMA, where I'm like, am I taking away if I do the gi? I don't know. But
I don't know. I feel like any jiu-jitsu practitioner that I've talked to, you know, coaches, that kind of thing, that have been doing it for a long time, they've pretty much all said that you should learn the gi first and then go no gi.
Yeah.
As soon as I started jiu-jitsu, I wanted to go no gi, like,
right,
instantly, right off the bat.
Right.
And then my coach, the first coach that I had, we were strictly gi all the time. And so we were training 3 to 4 days a week in the gi. And when it finally came time and he started offering no gi classes, I felt like it helped tremendously, like, already knowing, you know, obviously the grips aren't there, but
right.
everything's so
similar. But everything else, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Anybody that's like wants to be real serious about jiu-jitsu, I mean, there's obviously dudes that are black belts that probably have never done gi jiu-jitsu before, but I don't know. I feel like that's super important to learn the gi before, you know, jumping right into it. And I mean, when you're not in camp and all that, then you're just going to the gym to go to the gym and keep working on stuff, then obviously that's when you can have time to pick it up and
for sure
learn how to do it. And
Devin's, I mean, he's dying to get me in the gi. He's telling me all the time, like, put on the fucking gi, get to practice, like, come on. And which, you know, and I do. I want to get my blue belt. I would love to get in the gi, and Devin wants me to get my blue belt. Like, I just, I don't know. I guess I probably after camp, I'll start getting into that a little bit more, because I wanted to start doing some jiu-jitsu tournaments and kind of see where I'm at. So yeah, I'm excited to kind of get into the jiu-jitsu world a little more, but yeah, during camp is just not really the time.
No, that doesn't seem realistic to even try to focus on that. I can't imagine many pros or even, you know, amateur fighters that go through camp. I doubt they're really training much in a gi.
Yeah, you know? Not much, no.
Unless you're doing like car jiu-jitsu or something like that, I guess.
It's crazy. I've seen that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of getting, I mean, jiu-jitsu is getting so popular now, but now they're just trying to find all these different
other ways to make it more exciting.
I don't understand it, but
yeah.
So going into this fight and this camp, me and you, your father, you guys have been through some shit, you know, the last few months.
Yep.
You know, unfortunately, you lost your mother, you've lost an uncle, and you lost your grandmother.
Yeah.
All in the same, you know.
Hard hit recently, for sure.
So, would you say, I remember, like, when Badger was in here, he talked about, you know, his mom when she passed away.
Yeah.
That the gym was, not that it saved his life, because he wasn't in any, like, whatever, but it helped him escape and, you know, get through all this shit that you're dealing with right now.
Yeah.
Would you say that's kind of the same for you as far as...
Yeah, I would say so for sure. Just being able to train is big. You know, it's... As men, we don't really probably talk about things as much as we should.
Right.
Or, you know, and I'm just so damn busy all the time. I'm either at work or at the gym, and I don't want to burden people with any, you know, really baggage they don't want. Like, so yeah, the gym is nice to be able to train. It's a good therapy. I like being physical. Like, so it's nice. And yeah, all the guys were there for me, which helped out a lot. Right. It was, I think, my 20 days after my first fight is when my mom passed away. And that was rough. That was just tough. Like, losing a mother's hard for sure. But you know, so that's kind of why I didn't take time off, but I kind of wanted to just be there with my family a little bit more, during those times. So took a little bit of time training off. I was still in the gym a few days a week, but you know, I wasn't in camp and trying to take a fight right away. Like, I had other stuff to worry about. I wanted to make sure that everybody else in my family was doing all right and kind of be there for everyone. But yeah, it sucks losing one of the, you know, one of your best.
Oh, for sure. I don't know. I mean, like you said, it's horrible. It sucks.
Yeah.
But it's also motivation.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure that helps drive, you know, when you get in there.
Yeah, she loved it. She was, you know, one of my biggest fans as well. She was in the gym every weekend for 12 to 14 hours a week, you know, watching me wrestle since I was basically out of diapers and all the way up through. And with the MMA, you know, she was sick right at the end in the hospital, and we would talk every day and every night on the phone. And I was letting her know that, you know, she knew she was going through her thing, and I didn't want to burden her too much with it, but she knew I had a fight coming up, and she was always cheering me on. But yeah, you know, as a mom, it's tough to see your boy out there, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
Getting ready for a fist fight, but.
Yeah. Even, I mean, what you're doing, like you said, is nothing compared to what I'm doing, but like my mother, she saw like the videos from like my tournament and knowing what I've been doing for a while. And she's like, I just don't understand why you'd want to do that to yourself or somebody else.
You
know, how do you enjoy going to a place where you get choked? And
it's hard to explain.
It's
very hard to explain for sure.
And then I try to explain to her, I'm like, well, if I had found this earlier, there's a good chance that I feel like I probably would have ended up in a cage at some point,
right?
You know. But I don't know. She's also an RN, so
yeah,
she sees all that.
And, right, right.
You know what people do to each other, and
yeah,
she does. She doesn't get it, but I do.
Yeah, yeah. It's she was like, "Are you gonna be done after this one fight?" She kept, and I was kept telling her, "Probably not." No, yeah. You know. But the thing is like she wants me to do what I love, and she did want me to do it. She just doesn't want to see her boy get hurt. But no, that was tough going through that.
Yeah, I couldn't really imagine. And you know, no matter how you know your fights turn out for on, you know, here on out, I'm sure she's gonna be fucking super proud. You know.
Oh yeah. Yep. I hope so. That's all you can. That's all you really want as a son is just to make your mother proud. You know.
Right. So with this fight coming up. And, you know, him being 1-0 and his fight not lasting very long, was it?
0-1, yeah.
0-1, yeah. Yeah. Is it a lot more difficult just because there's not a lot of film, there's not a lot of tape, there's not...
Yeah, yeah, a little bit for sure. my first guy, Kwasin, that I fought, he had a few fights before that, so I was able to watch, you know, a good amount of film on him. And I think, yeah, both of his fights went the distance. So it's basically, what, 9-9? It's basically almost 20 minutes of film that I was able to study. I could see he had a low kick on the outside that he kept hitting on. I could see that he threw a lot of looping shots. A lot of his shots were very outside hooks, not right down the pipes with straights. So we're kind of working on that a lot. So, yeah, with this kid, it's a little more difficult. I know he likes to throw some kicks, and I know he's got like a karate background. I don't really know too much, but you know, I don't ever really focus too much on the other opponent that much. I mean, yeah, we come up with a game plan kind of right at the right. beginning of camp of these are the big things, these are the things that we need to counter, these are the things we need to you know, kind of stop before they get there, whatever. And, yeah, this one is just kind of focusing more on a lot of those high kicks, getting in, getting out, being tight in the clinch. So, just kind of focusing on, like, what I know I can do, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, of course you just don't want to get out there and get caught with a kick, so your guard's going to be up just a little bit higher.
Yeah.
It was tough because I didn't really see a lot of footage, but luckily we have great coaches, and our coaches actually sit there and watch all of our opponents' game film and pretty much come up with a game plan for us. So my striking coach kind of put together our kind of like focused my camp around like more of a karate base. So I had a few karate guys that I was going with during this camp, kind of more of that, you know, sideways stance with that real right. big front push kick, and kind of working out of that stance a little bit more because I kind of have more of a square stance. I kind of, as a wrestler, just being in that base, like kind of stand a little square. But yeah, there wasn't as much to watch on this guy for sure.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a good thing, but in a way it's kind of a bad thing. I don't know. We'll see.
You'll be all right.
Yeah.
No, man, I'm excited. I'm happy for you. I'm glad you're getting back in there and getting another shot at it. Yeah, I'm sure anybody that does it, you know, and you have a fight and the fight goes well, but it just doesn't go the way you want it to, I'm sure it kind of eats at you a little bit.
Yeah, you know. For sure. Yeah, you want to get back in there and yeah, it sucks when you don't get to prove and show all the hard work you put in, you know,
yeah.
when somebody can kind of stop that. It's a little irritating for sure. But you know, I did learn a lot of things from my first fight too. You know, at one point I had actually gotten his back. I had him on top of me, and I think I had put in a body triangle on him at one point, and I started rolling him to the side trying to find my rear naked choke or whatever out of there. And I don't know. I just like instinct with wrestling or whatever. I was trying to find the choke. I opened up my body triangle.
Yeah.
And it's like, why the hell would you ever let go of a body triangle? Like, you have that. Keep
right.
that. That's huge, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I won't be letting go of a body triangle anymore. But, yeah, just little things you can – I definitely learned some things in that fight, which was good. I'm happy that it was against an opponent that had a good amount of experience, that was already a pretty seasoned amateur. Yeah, you know, it's better than going out there with somebody that's super quick and choppy and not really – you know, doesn't have that good experience underneath them, because you wouldn't learn as much through that. You know right. what I mean? But
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, if you're training all the time with guys that are the same level as you all the time,
right?
You're not necessarily, not saying you can't get better, but you're not going to make gains compared exactly. to if you're training with guys that are above you.
Exactly.
Which, don't get me wrong, you need to also train with guys that are below you, you know, to get your reps in and all yep. that kind of stuff. But
yep.
I feel like where you really learn from is the dudes that are more advanced and that kind of thing.
For sure. And that's why, like, Nostos is a great gym, too, just because there's so many bodies and just so many different, like, Wednesday night open mat roll-a-thon or whatever. Like, you'll never get the same, you know, everybody's got their own thing, and there's so many different bodies that by the time you get to the next person, like, you can't game plan anything or try to force something to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's so many different skill sets and different things that people use. So that's nice that you get a mix up all the time with that. And then Devin's really good too with, like, through camp, you know, we'll do wrestling rounds, and sometimes, we'll go like 10 rounds in a row, and he'll have like 5 rounds where I'm going up against a pro who's just beating me into the mat the whole time, and I'm trying to survive and get out, and
right.
I get beaten to the mat and get up and survive and get out. And then the other 5 rounds, he'll have another body where I actually am able to control it, the
right.
pace, and able to stay on top and build that confidence up a little bit more. Cause yeah, if you're just getting your ass beat constantly at practice, it gets a little discouraging for,
yeah,
sure,
for sure,
you know? But then also, if you're out there kicking everyone's ass at practice, like you said, you're just not picking tools up. You're not learning. You're not.
Right. I mean, if you're getting people the same thing over and over and over again, you're not getting a game. You're not,
yeah.
you know, you're not getting experience. You're not. That's kind of like the new gym that I'm at now. I feel like I've gotten so much better, so much faster, just because there's so many different body types and there's so many different ranks.
Right.
The school I was at before was much smaller. Average class was like 7 to 8 guys. And we had like 5 of us were white belts, and then there was a blue belt and an occasional purple belt.
Right.
And now where I'm at, I mean, any given night, there's 15 to 20 guys there.
Nice.
And, yeah. you know, pretty good mixture of blue belts, purple belts.
Yeah.
No brown belts hanging around, but I noticed that Nostos that night that I was there, there was 2 of them, I think. There was 2 brown belts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like I said, it was a good mix of everybody.
Yeah.
The girls you guys have there, ferocious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could remember her name, but she asked me to roll. And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And, you know, we're rolling.
Smaller girl?
Yeah.
Not too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
There's a handful of girls now.
Yeah,
there.
She was,
yeah.
I think she was like a 3-stripe white belt. And
maybe Tasha, I'm not sure.
I wish I could remember what her name was. But
yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And it was my first time being there. And obviously, like, you know, the etiquette of jiu-jitsu and then,
yeah.
you know, being in a new place, like. Trying to be very mindful, you know,
yeah, yeah.
And then rolling, you know, with a woman, obviously, like, you don't
yeah.
just cut them breaks because they're a woman, but
right.
you obviously don't just try to maul the shit
drive
out of
them,
like,
the
you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I just, usually what I do is I'll try to get them in a certain position and let them work.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, I got her in guard, and I was like, yep, and then I ended up taking her back, and then I crossed my feet like an idiot, and she noticed
she
it
with the feet
immediately,
crossed.
And she
yeah.
just clamped down, and I was like, I couldn't believe I did it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, that's jiu-jitsu 101, like,
right.
you don't do is cross your feet, and I like verbally tapped, like,
yeah,
really loud, And then I kind of laughed. I'm like, man, I can't believe I did that. And she was giggling, and she's like, yeah. And then, like, we went again, and, yeah, she was awesome. Everyone, I mean, I don't think I did all the rounds. I kind of bitched out, I think, when it came around.
Was this on a Wednesday night roll-a-thon?
Nope. It was, was it a Tuesday?
Yeah, probably Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday gi night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, positional. It was all positional rolling.
Yeah.
Which I really liked. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that's, starting off in positions and whatever.
Yep. I mean, because where I'm at now, we usually start from the knees, which I'm not a particularly huge fan of. But we
start on the knees. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. The reason we do that is because usually there's no mat space.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
There's so many guys, so you can't. Do you, all...
There's you're saying there's no wrestling mats, right?
No, there's wrestling mats. I'm saying, like, the mat space.
Oh, so it was many... your old gym. I know at one point yeah, you had the said old gym. Yeah, we were
on puzzle mats. Right, so
right, yeah.
That's why we always started on the ground.
Right.
But we started positionally there, usually.
Yeah.
Yeah, the new place, Marrera's, the mats are
good.
Much, much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just saw you guys got new mats.
Yeah, we just got brand new mats, yep.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, those mats were awesome. I remember when the first time I stepped on those, I was like, ooh, this is nice.
Strong smelling, all the shit. For the first, like, couple weeks of those new mats, you walk into the gym and it's just like, pff, you know, that smell of those new mats just takes over everything. But, yeah, we're starting to break them in now. We just spilt the whole gallon jug of water on it this morning and bloody noses a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
Starting to break them in a little bit. But, yeah, it is nice to be able to, you know, hit those judo throws and be able to, you know, blast those doubles. And
yeah, last night we were doing Imanari rolls.
Yeah.
And I was like, whew. This morning I woke up, my neck was just locked right up. I'm like, yeah. Man. But, yeah, because I'm not very flexible for, you know, doing that kind of shit. Inversions is not my thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm not super flexible either, which is surprising with my size and speed and stuff, but yeah, I got tight hips. It takes me a while to stretch out.
Yeah. So, man, yeah, this Saturday, Bangor, you're the second fight, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We just saw the card, I think a couple days ago or whatever it came out. Yeah. Second fight, which is nice. 'Cause not first fight, but
yeah,
still I like getting them done early. There's nothing better than watching your teammates fight.
Right.
There is nothing better. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm excited to fight. But I'm more excited to see my teammates fight. Like, my training partners, you know. You're in the grind with them every day. It's when they're fighting, I'm just like, I feel like I'm fighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I mean, obviously, if, you know, you're watching one of your gym mates, whatever, and they pull off a win, I mean.
Yeah.
It's not like they just won, you know. You guys won.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, if we can get in there and get a clean sweep, that would be awesome for sure. But it's tough. It's a sport where one guy's going to win, one guy's going to lose, and sometimes you can both be very, you know, almost at the same kind of level, but there's always going to be a winner and a loser, and
right.
It's just kind of how it goes. But it's whoever's night it is that night is...
So... Anybody that's interested in following you, how do they do that?
You can follow me on Instagram at Matt Jenkins. Sorry, MMA, I believe it is. Sorry, let me check real quick. I don't even know if.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds somewhat right.
It's M Jenkins MMA.
M Jenkins
MMA. MJenkins.MMA. And then I'm on Facebook and Matthew Jenkins. Yeah. Basically Instagram or Facebook. And
any sponsors you want to shout out real quick?
Yeah, I do want to shout out some sponsors. I've got...
Oh, that's right. I ordered one of them.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, the shirts just came in. They're sweet. My first sponsor, Retrospect in North Berwick. Awesome haircuts, barbershop. One of my buddies, they do awesome work. Some of the best haircuts in town. I got Grit Fitness in South Berwick, an amazing gym, key card gym. Go train and work out whenever. The best podcast out there, the Bone Pit Podcast. Check them out.
Yeah.
I got Howarth Builders in South Berwick, an old wrestling coach of mine. He does builds amazingly beautiful homes in the area. Dirt Road Acres Dispensary. Moe's Italian Subs in Somersworth, New Hampshire, and then Nos Dos and Pal House Management.
So if somebody wants to come in and train with you,
let's go.
Yeah, but yeah. As far as like Nos Dos, just Somersworth.
Yep. Somersworth, right on the border of Somersworth, of New Hampshire and Maine. It's in Somersworth, right next to Borderline Beverage.
Yeah, super easy to find. Parking can be kind of a bitch sometimes.
Parking can definitely be a bitch for sure. Yeah, if it's especially on those busier nights, you gotta get down there early and find a spot somewhere and kind of walk down the hill or whatever. But yeah, it's tight parking there, but yeah, a lot of people in the gym and a lot of good experience, great coaches. It's a good place to train for sure. I wouldn't want to train anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, man, good luck on Saturday. All your teammates, I hope the best for all of you guys.
Thank you. And thank you very much for sponsoring me. I appreciate it.
No, I've been wanting to do it for a while, so seemed like the right time to get it done. So
yeah, been wanting to get over here, so I'm happy that we're able to do it.
Yeah, and yeah, like always, check out the Bone Pit Jiu-Jitsu podcast on Instagram. Give that a like, share, and a follow if you haven't done that yet. Yeah, just I appreciate you coming in. Like I said, good luck.
Awesome.
You know, be safe. Just hopefully everything goes all right, and then
oh yeah. Things will go great. I'm excited and ready. So
yeah, I mean, you've definitely put in the work. So
that's right.
But yeah,
hard part's over now. It's the fun part.
For sure. Yeah, I'm Justin Stone. That's Matt Jenkins, and this is the Bone Pit Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Peace.